Hi everyone, welcome to the CFG podcast. We are delighted to welcome Florence Schechter today from the Vagina Museum. Hi Florence.
Hello.
Hi. Hi. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
We're excited to speak to you today.
Yeah, we are.
We'd love to know actually just a little bit more about how the Vagina Museum came about. I know you're the founder, so how did it come into being?
So it started off really flippantly actually, because I discovered that there is a penis museum in Iceland, which is great, but there's no vagina equivalent anywhere in the world. And I literally just tweeted, like, on a whim, like, guys, there's a penis museum in Iceland, there's no vagina museum, we should really make one. And then I quote-tweeted myself, I'm that kind of person. And I was like, guys, I think we should actually do this. And so I just did it. And I, like, the more I thought about it, the more I was like, actually, I think something, a project like this could actually be really great. Like, it could really help so many people because, you know, the history of this part of the body, of the whole gynecological anatomy, is so shrouded in stigma because the body part itself is shrouded in stigma. So we can tell stories that are literally not being told anywhere else and hopefully remove that stigma in doing that.
Is your background, Florence, are you a science communicator previously? Is that kind of how it ties in as well?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So it was kind of a natural step for me to go into museums because, you know, my job before that was telling people about science, about all the fun and things I liked about science, doing gigs and podcasts and writing and stuff. So, you know, museums was like a natural extension of that.
Fantastic. When we spoke to Emma Chaplin, director of AIM, and she was talking a lot about, you know, how AIM members, they bring a lot of stories to life, and a lot of those sort of less known stories. So I think it's interesting that Vagina Museum really fits into that.
Mm. Oh, yeah, definitely. Aspect. I love AIM. They're very supportive.
They're amazing.
We love AIM.
Yeah, we love AIM. So I know that you recently launched a campaign as well to raise funds for kind of permanent premises for the Vagina Museum. Can you talk a little bit about how that came about and what form the campaign took place in as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a Camden resident in London, and I spoke to my local councillor about the project. And she absolutely loved it. So she introduced me to some people. And eventually I got in contact with Camden Market, who have informally offered us a space, if we can raise the money, in Camden Market to have our very first permanent premises. So the first step was to do some crowdfunding, while we also applied for some grants and things like that. And we did that by making a page on Crowdfunder. So like the crowdfunding platform is called Crowdfunder. I know it's a bit confusing. You know, did a big campaign reaching as many people as we could, lots of social media and websites and news articles. And in the end, we raised £47,000, which I'm like so pleased with, you know, a project, you know, where we've only really done small things. We've been going for about 2 years, and we've just been doing like small pop-ups and little events and things like that. Just to raise that much money, having never done a major project, was absolutely mind-blowing.
The scale of that, it just sounds such a successful thing to do, and it must have been really exciting.
Yeah, it was really exciting, you know, like watching those numbers climb and you know, I've got a bit of imposter syndrome and like, you know, I think why would anyone possibly want to donate to my project if they didn't already know me, if they weren't already my friend or something. So when I saw people I have never met before, haven't interacted before, like tweet being like, oh, I just donated to the Vagina Museum because I think what they're doing is such a cool idea. Like every single time I was surprised. It was just really amazing.
What a positive response. That's really great.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also read, so I'm subscribed to your mailing list, and I received an email just with an update of the fundraising model, and I saw that you were considering a sort of social investment loan as well. Just wondering kind of what made you make that decision to change to that kind of model?
So basically our grant applications were rejected for various reasons. And, you know, we're sort of like about £45,000 after, 45,000. And That's great, but it's not nearly enough to make a museum. You know, museums are very expensive things. Like, we wouldn't be able to do it on 45,000 alone. So we had to make the money somewhere else. And I saw some people were doing social investment loans, and I thought that would be a good option for us. Because one of my kind of major goals for this premises is for us to be financially sustainable. Like, I don't want to be relying on grants for our overhead. So having a social investment loan was like a really good option for us, because it means it would drive us to be, you know, financially sustainable, because we would have to make our loan repayments every month. And also the ones that we're applying to, they have a lot of support embedded within the loan. Like, they don't just give you the money and then leave. You know, they like help you kind of make an impactful cultural business. So that's kind of why we moved to that direction.
That's really interesting. And I think that that sort of diversifying income streams and having that different kind of funding support is something that we know is an interesting option for AIM members, and something that AIM have flagged themselves.
Yes, definitely.
As being a really important avenue for them. So it's really interesting that you've actually, you know, had that experience as well for us and gone down that route.
Great. Yeah, we're really lucky, because being a new museum, we can start with a diverse income stream. We don't have to be like, oh, we just lost this huge grant that we normally get every single year, and then scrambling for finding a way to make up for it. We can just like start on good footing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Great. How did you find the process? Did you find there was information there which helped you? Was it quite a helpful process, or did you have to do quite a lot of research? How did you find the process of going through that?
So I'm still in the middle of it. That's why you haven't received another newsletter, because I'm waiting to hear back. And it's pretty similar to applying for grants, but you also have to then include your business plan and all your like your business model and your income projections and everything. The people we're applying to are really supportive. Mm-hmm. So it's been a really good process. It's been a process I'm actually really excited about, because they like ask us all these questions, and I love what I'm doing. I love my job. So like, even the we would come out at the end of a meeting and they'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, it was such an interrogation. And I was like, no, that was actually really fun. I feel like such a nerd. But it's true. I am finding the process really fun, because it's really forcing me to reflect on the charity and the business, because it is essentially a business, in ways that I never have.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's really interesting, actually, you say kind of you had to reflect on the whole project as a whole. Would you have any tips for an organisation looking to explore a capital project like this, given your experience in both crowdfunding and applying for a social investment loan and everything else?
Oh, God. I would probably say I found it a really stressful experience, and I got really obsessive about like looking at numbers going up and down, whether people were supportive and whether people weren't, and it was really like affecting me on a personal level. So I would say, when you're doing it, because these projects take months and months, you know, make sure you're scheduling in time for self-care, and if you take knocks back, don't take it personally, and just make sure you're looking after yourself, because if you're not looking after yourself, like your campaign's not going to do well, because you need to be on top form to be able to run it. So that's the advice I would give.
That's such a great honest answer as well, you know, just to kind of think about it in the respect that this is kind of your own kind of baby, it's a very personal project, so you do need to make sure that you're in best condition as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So what's coming up in the future then, Florence? So in terms of any pop-ups, I know you've got any premises in Camden as well for the museum.
Are you able to tell us and give us any insights about how that's going to look? Do you have sort of ideas in mind that you would like, what you would like it to, what the space to be like at this stage?
Yeah. Obviously, this is with the caveat that this, what I'm about to describe, is only going to happen if we have the requisite funding. So like, please don't come to us next year and be like, you promised us all this. And then I have to go over like how we didn't make the money and how I'm super depressed because of that. The plan in this space in Camden Market is the building itself is about 4,500 square feet. And within that, we're going to have a reception and a shop and a cafe. And the cafe is going to be hilarious, by the way. You know, there's so much you can do with coffee foam. We're going to have one exhibition on at a time. So we're going to have just like one exhibition gallery. And that exhibition will show a huge diversity of the types of things that a vagina museum might do. Because the purpose of this project is like a pilot. It's like a proof of concept. Because the ultimate goal is to have this like huge museum with an encyclopedic collection that looks at the gynecological anatomy from a scientific point of view, health, history, culture, society, everything. So the exhibitions we're going to have are going to be huge ranging, you know, from the history of period products to the language that we use and the words we use for the anatomy to myths about the vagina that occur all over the world. So a huge breadth of different types of exhibitions. And then we're going to have also a really packed events program and an outreach program as well. So it's going to be really fun, and it's going to be like a massive learning experience for us. So I think it'll be really exciting to see, you know, a museum in its very early stages, which is something that doesn't really happen very much.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Like just that starting out. And yeah, I think it's so exciting. And I think I would love to go as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have one.
And can people still donate? And if so, like, where can they go to do that?
Oh my God, yes, please still donate. So you can donate through our crowdfunder, which is crowdfunder.co.uk/vagina museum. We also have a PayPal giving fund. So if you just literally Google PayPal giving fund, vagina museum, we turn up on there. You can donate to us through CAF. There's all different ways you can donate. And if you can't donate money, you can still like volunteer for us. You can share us on social media, email our crowdfunding campaign to all your friends and family. I think it would be a hilarious gift for your granny. On Christmas, get them vagina museum membership. So yeah, there's still many options.
Fantastic, lots of ways to be involved. And yeah, I also can't wait for merchandise. To find out
so
more about
that. Possibilities.
You already have a little bit of merchandise if you would like to be like a proper pioneer. So it's literally like the types of things I can fit in our little office. So if you go to vaginamuseum.co.uk/shop, you can see it, and we've got like little badges and tote bags and fun things like that. And I'll definitely get everyone staring at you when you walk down the street.
Brilliant. That's what you want. That's what you want.
Amazing. Well, yeah. We'll include the link to that in the podcast notes as well, so people can have a look.
Yes.
And get excited.
Florence, thank you so much for speaking to us. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, it's been wonderful. Thanks so much.